Let's start with the rapid fire round. The first one is, at what age do you want to retire?
10 years ago.
How long does it take you to get ready in the mornings?
30 minutes.
Your favorite dish?
Pasta. Any kind of pasta.
Favorite color?
Black.
What time of day are you most inspired?
In the morning.
How many hours of sleep can you survive on?
4.
Fill in the blank. An upcoming marketing trend is blank.
An upcoming marketing trend is the use of AI.
The biggest mistake of your career?
Joining a company without fully understanding the people who were running it.
How do you relax?
I jump on the Peloton.
How many cups of coffee do you drink per day?
I don't drink coffee.
The most valuable skill you've learned in life?
That how you do something is as important as what you do.
Your favorite Netflix show?
Right now, Masters of the Air.
One-word description of your leadership style?
Open.
Top priority in your daily schedule?
Engagement.
Ideal vacation spot for relaxation?
Any beach.
Key factor for maintaining a work-life balance?
Exercise, caffeine, ice cream.
Wait, but you don't drink coffee.
Tea.
Memorable career milestone?
Becoming CMO of Qualcomm.
All right, that's the end of the rapid fire round. Now we can go into the longer questions, which you can answer with as much ease and time as you like.
Okay.
The first one is, can you elaborate on Qualcomm's approach to enabling on-device AI and why it's essential for scaling generative AI?
Sure. Well, our approach to on-device AI is making sure that all of our platforms that go into this amazing array of devices, whether it's your car or your phone or your PC or your glasses, has the most high performance, low power consumption, computational capabilities, along with world-leading connectivity and onboard intelligence in order to deliver an on-device AI experience that can be beneficial to users. Why on-device AI is important to scale AI in general is because the technology itself has to proliferate across device, the edge, and the cloud in order for it to scale, in order for it to be sustainable, and in order for it to deliver the user benefits that can only happen when you've got on-device AI capabilities like personalization, low latency, and security.
So is there any risk that this proliferation across different platforms can lead to any danger to user privacy or data security?
I think if we don't move to a hybrid, or if AI does not scale in a hybrid way, the risks are higher for lack of security than if we do move to this hybrid world, because the inherent benefits of on-device offer more security and offer more options for your data to stay your data and not risk your data being put into a public cloud environment where it could be used inappropriately, stolen, or you not receiving the credit of ownership for your individual IP.
So in what ways do you foresee AI devices impacting both B2B and B2C markets in 2024, especially with the rise of AI-powered PCs?
Well, I think from a productivity and an efficiency standpoint, AI tools are starting to proliferate the workplace today. For my team, have deployed a few AI tools that are kickstarting the ideation process from a creative standpoint. They are helping to drive more efficient content development, faster time to market, as well as freeing up my team from mundane tasks to be able to be better critical thinkers, to establish more work-life balance, and to be able to focus on things that are more important than just daily mundane tasks that AI can easily do and or kickstart for them.
And are there any potential challenges companies might face in integrating AI-powered PCs into their existing workflows or products?
I think the biggest challenge is making sure that all stakeholders across your enterprise are informed, all concerns are out on the table, AI tools are properly vetted for how they're trained from a legal perspective, the risk of cyber hacking or cybersecurity has been taken under consideration, and then the relevancy of the tool and its application are put in the right place with the right people. Those are the biggest challenges and opportunities for the deployment of AI tools across any enterprise or business.
So as the CMO of a B2B company, how do you navigate building a consumer brand like Snapdragon while maintaining focus on business value?
Well, we've done that by actually separating our B2B and B2C brands. So Snapdragon is our more consumer-facing brand. Qualcomm is the master brand, the name of the company, and its application is with B2B-like audiences, investors, policymakers, business decision makers. So it's really about being audience-led and then appropriately building brand ethos around those important audiences so that you can then deliver your story, because we're all storytellers at the end of the day, to those audiences in a compelling and relevant way.
And so our audience is really interested in what metrics or indicators Qualcomm uses to measure the success and ROI of its consumer branding efforts.
We have both hard metrics and soft metrics. On the hard KPI side, we measure everything from awareness all the way down to purchase intent. We also analyze willingness to pay a premium for devices that are powered by our platforms. That's another hard KPI. From a soft KPI perspective, we are also measuring sentiment across social media, emotional connection to the brand, brand affinity with certain audiences, and advocacy for the brand.
So do you have any lessons to share for best practices for effectively communicating complex B2B technology to a broader consumer audience?
Start out with realizing that content in time-based content, you can only share so much of the story, and the objective shouldn't be to tell everything within a 30-second or a 15-second window or at the speed of TikTok, but to just get people interested in your story and then driving them through a longer content journey. And the more they're interested, the more they're going to listen and learn. But applying appropriate messages and appropriate pieces of the story in the relevant and the appropriate content type so that you can drive that interest.
Could you now talk a bit about Qualcomm's strategic brand partnerships with entities like Manchester United and the Mercedes-AMG Petronas F1 team and how they contribute to your business growth?
Absolutely. Well, I'm a big believer that brand value drives business value. And so the partnerships that we've forged with Mercedes F1, as well as Manchester United, the mobile esports competition that we've built globally is all organized around people's passion points, whether it's passion for sport or passion for music or passion for photography or passion for gaming. And that because our technology platforms enable people to explore and ignite those passions. So we think really, really hard about the brand partnerships that we forge. We look for brand value alignment between our brand and their brand. And then we look for the benefits and the ROI that we can derive from any sort of partnership on our side, as well as what value we can bring to our partners with our technology and our platforms to help them either digitally transform themselves or enhance their brand value to their audiences. Manchester United, global, 1.1 billion fans, primarily the partnership with Manchester United from a Snapdragon perspective is to help scale brand value for Snapdragon, both at the awareness and consideration levels, as well as down to preference. With at Formula One, our Mercedes partnership is a nod to our growth in automotive and our Snapdragon digital chassis platforms, because oftentimes innovation in automotive starts in F1. So we thought it was very important to be a part of the F1 ecosystem, and we couldn't think of a better partner than Mercedes. Again, like-minded brand values and their innovation mentality and their dedication to technology is very, very similar to ours. So those are two examples of our brand partnerships and how we build them and how we build ethos around them.
And so what advice would you have for SME, small and medium enterprises and startups looking to establish strategic brand partnerships of their own to enhance their business value?
Start with relevancy Why would you choose this partner, and what is this partner going to deliver back to your business? I think a lot of brands tend to engage in what I call kind of logo slapping, meaning they just slap their logo on anything without really understanding what the entire value equation is by being engaged either in that activity or with that brand or in that sport or whatever it might be. So really understanding what your objectives are, your business objectives, and then how engaging in a partnership, a specific partnership, are going to help you achieve those business objectives.
So besides logo slapping, are there any other common pitfalls or mistakes you've observed when it comes to forming brand partnerships, and how can they be avoided?
I think, first of all, strong negotiation is really important. Establishing a win-win for both yourself and the partner that you're engaging with, I think, is very important as well. And then negotiating the value that you want to extract out of the partnership in the areas that is most meaningful to the audience that you're trying to reach.
So now let's talk about something lighter. Like, what does your typical day at Qualcomm look like? You wake up in the morning and then?
I wake up in the morning, I hop on my Peloton, I go to Starbucks, I get to the office. I have a lot of meetings, a lot of collaboration, a lot of engagement. Qualcomm is a very collaborative culture. Any innovation engine requires a lot of collaboration. So there's the impromptu meetings, there's the hallway conversations, there's the more structured meetings. And I aim every day to kind of move the needle on productivity just a little bit further forward. And then getting out of the office at a reasonable hour and then enjoying the rest of my day.
Okay, back to heavier stuff. How can SMEs and startups leverage on-device AI capabilities to enhance their products or services and stay competitive in the market?
I think there's a lot of tools that are being developed at a very rapid pace. So I guess understanding what tools are going to be most relevant for you and what you're trying to achieve, then training the people who are going to be utilizing those tools. Don't forget that the human element has to be included in whatever AI instance or ever AI activity you're engaging with. If you don't add the human element, whether it's on the front end of inputting into the AI tool or on the back end with the output that comes out of it, then it's not going to be ownable. So you have to add that human element, whether it's editorializing, whether it's adding creativity or creative prowess to it. It has to be ownable, or else it's actually public domain. So making sure that you understand that in the deployment of any AI tool is going to help drive whatever successful use case that you're trying to achieve and move your business forward and avoid the pitfalls of jumping into the AI sort of swimming pool without really understanding that there are parameters, basic principles that you need to follow.
And is there any resources or support that Qualcomm provides to assist smaller companies in implementing on-device AI solutions?
Actually, we just launched our AI hub here at MWC. That's actually an acceleration tool for developers and small companies to add AI to their applications or their use cases by simply going to GitHub or going to Hugging Face or even our AI hub at Qualcomm.com. Putting in a few lines of code, testing the large language model on their application, and then publishing into the Play Store or into any app store. So we've accelerated the process on time to market for any small business or any app developer to be able to bring AI enhancement to their products.
So in your opinion, what are the key factors that differentiate successful AI-driven products or services in the market?
I think the ultimate success driver for AI products in the market is what is the value of the output you're getting on the other side, and then how you're adding the human element to that output. Also, how it might be changing operating models and business models in moving those operating models in a positive direction, more efficiency, higher productivity. Business models creating new revenue generation opportunities or new ways to generate value for your business or for your brand. Those are all metrics of success in my mind.
How about user experience design? To what extent does it play a key role in the success of AI-driven products?
The good news is that user experience design can actually be freed up with the use of AI. No longer is it going to have to be a visual app-based user experience. Natural language processing, true AI assistance is going to create the environment for user experiences or user interfaces to be more natural. And depending on the environment, more sort of hands-free and enable you to actually engage and do more without having to look down at a screen or touch something in a linear fashion. So I think AI is going to enable this horizontal user interface experience and environment that's going to leverage all sorts of inputs and ways of inputting to get an output on the other side.
So as we move further into the AI era, what do you believe are the biggest opportunities and threats for SMEs and startups in leveraging AI technologies?
Embrace the fact that AI is here. It's not a hype cycle. It's being hyped at the moment, but it's actually moving very, very fast, and it is here to stay. So figuring out how to best deploy and adopt within a key set of principles and governance is going to be very important to any sort of successful use or deployment of AI. But don't be afraid. Get past the fear. And again, AI is not meant to replace. It's meant to augment. I like to refer to AI as augmented intelligence, not artificial intelligence, and really look at it as a sixth sense or a second brain. But it's not 100% replacement for the human element. And as long as you recognize that or remember that, it's a balancing act. I think AI can be the most useful to any individual or any business if those kind of common principles are realized and adopted.
Right. So the last question for you is of a personal kind. What would you be doing in your life if not this?
I would be a roving reporter. I am Don McGuire, the Chief Marketing Officer of Qualcomm. Catch me on the Technologist of the Month show.